it. Ooh, get ready for this word.
Ooh. I can't believe I said ooh.
That's good.
I love that Pastor David says, I can't believe I said ooh. Go ahead, say ooh. Oh, you've been training them up in the way they should go, Pastor Jeremy. I even heard it from the deep parts. It's good to see you all this morning. If I haven't met you before, I'm Pastor Tina. I'm the online campus pastor. Hey, online family, we're so glad that you're with us and the worship pastor, but I am thrilled to be here this morning to share the word with you. Of course, we are one of many campuses, Ghent under Pastor David, Town Center under Pastor Joel, our Deep Creek campus under Pastor Melvin, but we are one family, one church, serving one Lord. Can you say amen to that? I think sometimes we don't celebrate that reality very often. And so I just want to acknowledge all of the campuses that are worshiping together and online. I don't get to see you this way very often, so I'm very happy. Go ahead and give me a wave online. I'm going to check on you later. Well, we have been in a series on parables for the last couple of weeks during the Lent season. And Pastor Dan introduced it to talk with us about how do we walk with those things that mattered to Jesus as he shared them with those that were around him. It was something he shared with his disciples, but he also challenged the Pharisees through these parables. They are hidden stories with hidden meanings that for those who have eyes to hear, eyes to see, unless you're really special and your eyes can hear. But sometimes that does happen because dry bones are rattling, so you just never know. Eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive the word of the Lord. That's what these parables do. They reveal the kingdom of God in ways that straight shooting might not do. It also reveals the hearts of men in the way that straight talk might not do. And today's parable specifically will reveal the hearts of men. And let's just be clear that the hearts of men are not those men. The hearts of men are these hearts. Oftentimes when we come to those challenging places in Scripture that actually call us up and out, we want to look over our shoulder and wonder who Jesus might be talking to. We actually wonder who this is really for. Lord, help me. Reveal to me who I must share this with, that they too would be set free and walk in your ways, oh God. And then we get that subtle tap on our shoulder, and it's the Holy Spirit says, but I'm looking at you, kid. Why? Because, see, the Lord wants us to walk fully in what he has for us. And that doesn't just take hugs and kisses. It actually sometimes takes a little bit of chastising and a little bit of rattling and a little bit of calling up higher and out of those places that we've gotten comfortable in. And so today's parable is out of Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 31. And I'm going to read it from this. It'll be on the screen in the room and you'll see it online, but you can go ahead and put it in your notes. You can read it and then read it again. And then we're going to go ahead and talk about it. Let me read it for you. Luke 16, 19 through 31. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously. I like that word. Go ahead and say sumptuously, just because I can make you say it. All right. Sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all of this, between us, you and our great chasm has been fixed in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." And he said, then I beg you, father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Can I pray this morning? Father, we just take your word and we give it right back to you. These are your words. And so we ask that they would do their work in our hearts and in our minds. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive the word of the Lord this morning. In Jesus' name. You say amen with me. Amen. Well, this parable can make a person feel slightly uncomfortable in its reading, and it doesn't give the warm fuzzies that maybe some of the parables might. But as I said earlier, that parables are used to incite, to awaken spiritual truths to those who have ears to hear, and to challenge areas of sin and separation from God, and to reveal the kingdom of God and his grace. This parable does that. It encourages, it challenges, it warns, and it gives hope to those who lean in to Christ. And I think we all qualify for this. This particular parable was really addressing the Pharisees, as many of the parables do. And I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But right before this parable was declared, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And that's why I find this parable to be so unique, because it is setting up the disciples to do a heart check. Go ahead and say heart check. If you're online, can you hashtag heart check? And I believe it's also challenging the Pharisees to do a heart check. See, he was talking to the disciples about how they managed money. And he said, listen, I want you to be faithful in the small things so I can give you more things. Secondly, he says, I want you to be faithful in how you tend to others. Because if you can't tend to others, how can I entrust you with things for yourself? And then he further on says, and this is in Luke 16:10-13, right before this parable comes, and he said, if you've not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The other word that is used more often is mammon. And I like to use the word mammon because mammon doesn't just mean money. It means that which you have confidence in. I love that our opening verse this morning was, I have confidence in this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But when you have confidence in mammon, it says, I have confidence. I have anchored myself in anything other than the Lord. And Jesus is very clear to his disciples, you can't do both. You can't be confident in God and confident in something else. He is a jealous God, and he says, it's all about me. And if you have confidence in me, I will accomplish that which I've begun. But if you put your confidence anywhere else, then you're on sinking sand. And the reason he began to call this out, because the Pharisees were right around the corner. You know, they're right there eavesdropping, right? Like, what you got to say, Jesus? The disciples are eating and they're feasting of the food. And it says literally that the Pharisees heard the word of the Lord because they were lovers of money. They heard all of these things and they ridiculed him. In our day and age, they just basically rolled their eyes. How would he say such a thing? Because, see, the Pharisees believed this. If you had lots of money, if you had everything on earth that you needed, you were blessed of God, and heaven liked you. If you were poor, then you did something wrong, and heaven was against you. Oftentimes, we live upon according to those rules as well, but I want to say that we live in an upside-down kingdom of God where he doesn't judge us based on what's on the outside, but he judges based on what's on the heart. Can you say amen to that? So the Pharisees, Jesus so perfectly submits this parable to the Pharisees that presents a rich man and a poor man, because the Pharisees would have looked at the rich man and said, that's right, that is a man of God. Look at him high rolling, wearing purple swag, eating sumptuously every day. You know, it wasn't by accident that it said every day, because historically, people might eat a sumptuous meal once a year in that time. But it specifically says that this rich man ate that way every day. Meanwhile, right outside his door, by the gate that he passed each and every day, there was Lazarus, a poor man, who just waited for food to fall off his table. And the Pharisees would have seen Lazarus and said, well, he did something wrong. God is not for him. But Jesus is about to turn the tables. Isn't it so good when Jesus turns the tables on the enemy? Isn't it so good when Jesus turns the tables and he looks at you and he says, I know your circumstances look funny, but just know I am for you. I am for you. I am for you. And I think the crux that leads to this parable is out of Luke 16 and 15. And I think it is on the screen. It is before, and it says this. And Jesus said to them, the Pharisees, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. Go ahead and say that part. But God knows your hearts. Now let's personalize it and say, God knows my heart. Go ahead, let's try this. But God knows my heart, for what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Listen, we live in a world that says right is wrong and right, wrong is right. And today, I do believe that Jesus is calling his people, not just this church, but his people to step up higher and get their perspective right into a kingdom perspective, not an earthly perspective. We've become very Americanized, and I say that with a lot of honor because my people are not from this country and they worked hard to have what they have. My mom and family came as immigrants from Italy. My dad from Puerto Rico, and God has blessed them, but it is not because of an American philosophy. It is because they chose the right master to serve. And when you choose the right master, then God begins to order your steps. And today he is calling us to choose rightly, to choose rightly, because he knows our hearts. He doesn't look at the outside. See, this parable seems to be a recalibration or a heart check of kingdom values. Jesus is introducing the kingdom of heaven, remember? That's what these parables are all about. Two people of the law who saw only the rules, and if you followed the rules and you got in. But Jesus says, I see more than just that. Today I want to remind you, he sees your heart. He knows your heart. He knows your heart, and I hope that's good news to you. We know that the Lord consistently chooses to look at the hearts of men rather than what the world looks at, outward appearance. So today I just want to highlight several areas of a heart check, not for your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and say, this is not about you. Now tell them, this is all about me. All right, so we're not looking for the, what heart is he talking about? He looks at my heart. And these are heart checks that we can learn from both the rich man and Lazarus. And then I want to encourage you to listen critically, listen humbly. I saw a meme this morning and I should have written it down, but it says someone who's prideful looks at everyone else and says, they're just fine. But somebody who's humble says, maybe something's wrong with me too and I can help somebody else. So today let's walk humbly to hear the Spirit speak as he nudges our hearts. Let's not be like the Pharisees, quick to ridicule Jesus because the challenge was way too close to home. You know, you never get offended until you get offended, right? You're like, yes, that's right. You better preach that word until that word comes home. And you're like, and that is a false prophet right there. I don't know where that, who gives them the right to talk about that? Because we never get offended until we get offended. Oh, Jesus, offend us. Can we pray that? Jesus, offend us. The word of God says he would be a stumbling stone for those who walk away from him. But if we want to walk towards him, we're going to trip a little bit because we are walking into who he is and away from who we naturally are because of sin. Come on, Jesus. All right. Are you ready for some heart checks? All right. There's five that I want to highlight today. And the first theme that I feel like the Lord is highlighting in this particular parable is this. Where your trust and treasure is, there your heart is also. This is evident when you look at the dichotomy of the rich man and Lazarus. And here's the interesting thing about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man is called a rich man. He's identified by his station, by what he has. But Lazarus is identified by his name. See, oftentimes we want our identity to be in our stuff, but it really doesn't give us identity. It's just about the stuff. Lazarus not only had a name, but do you know that Lazarus is a derivative of the name Elias, and that means God is my help. Lazarus had a name that called out to the name of God. And it belied his station. It showed more of his heart and where his trust and treasure was than the rich man who had all the opulence in the world. I love Matthew 6, 19 and through 20. And you know this, and this is where this comes from. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Today, I believe our heart check is, where are your treasures? Listen, this isn't about money, because some of y'all are like, I'm broke, so this is perfect. I am straight broke. So, you know what? I'm good. But remember, mammon doesn't just mean money. It means your confidence. What do you trust in? What do you trust in? Do you trust in the opinions of people? Do you trust in your strength and your health? Do you trust in your family and your family line? Do you trust in your mental health? What are you in your heritage and in your nationality? See, today the Lord is challenging all that, and he said, you get to trust in one thing and that will not be moved, and that is me. And Lazarus said at the end of the day, poor Lazarus at the gate, who had sores on his body and no food to eat, he said, the Lord is my help. And that came back to him, multiplied. You'll see in a moment. See, where our hearts are, there is evidence of it in our everyday life. It's our values and it's our treasures. It will always just be displayed in the decisions we make. Where you say your yeses, you know, Pastor Joel and Pastor Jeremy often talk about the yeses of the Lord. Where you say your yeses will reveal your values. Where you say your noes will reveal where your treasures are. Who you engage with, how you serve, how you love. Our heart's condition can either blind us to things around us if they're self-centered, or open our eyes to the needs around us when they are humble and contrite. Not just to the poor, but to our marriages and to our families, to the needs of others and to priorities in our own lives. Today, would we reevaluate the treasures of our heart and see where our yeses have been falling? And like I said earlier, where we put our trust and treasure creates our identity. It gives us a name. It gives us a name. Today, would we be the rich man that is identified by a trait? Or would we be a Lazarus that is identified by God is my help? Maybe we would choose the lower of the things that we would have the higher of the things versus the higher of the things that we would end up with nothing. Heart check number one, where your trust and heart treasure is, there your heart is also. Heart check number two, our choices on earth have eternal effects and consequences. Now, we don't ever want to, this is something we don't like to talk about, not from the pulpit, not around our dinner tables. We just want to talk about the favor and the grace of God. Oh, but thanks be to Jesus that that is available to us. But it is because of Jesus who rescued us from sin and death and hell. See, there is a real heaven and a real hell. And this particular parable does not mince words. It says that the rich man and Lazarus both died. The rich man was buried, which indicates he was given some pomp and circumstance. And the poor man probably got tossed off to the side because the poor were not even granted a burial. But here's where it turns. It says that the angels carried Lazarus to Abraham's bosom, which was a place selected for those who had faith in God. And the rich man was taken to Hades, a place of separation from God. There's no question about what this means. We are immortal beings, and our bodies may die, but our spirits will. And we have a choice to make, every one of us. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, eternity is written in the hearts of men. There is nobody who is not aware that there is something beyond themselves, which is sometimes why life seems so frustrating, because we can't get it all done in 70 or 80 years. You know what I'm talking about? But see, any attempt to share the gospel without the very real outcomes of heaven or hell is both not loving or truthful. And it certainly doesn't give opportunity for someone to cry out, God, would you be my help? See, for those whose hearts trust in God is my help, heaven is yours. But for those whose lives are self-centered, ignorant of loving God and loving others, which are the two commandments. Listen, we try to get people to jump through hoops, but at the end of the day, will you love God and will you love others? And those, the rest of the vat, Jesus will work out with you. The trajectory set on earth will set the course of their eternal destiny, an eternity with God or apart from God. Matthew 16:26-27 says this, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will pay each person according to what he has done. There is a recompense coming one day. Listen, don't think the Lord is not keeping track of you. And I hope this is a blessing to you, because there are some here that says, how come nobody ever sees what I'm doing? I never get acknowledgement for the way that I serve. I want you to know the Lord is taking notes. The Lord is seeing your heart. The Lord knows how you love, knows how you serve, knows how you give, knows how you stand. And he says there's a reward for you, not just here, but in all of eternity. And I don't know about you, the reward that I get here, it's going to perish because I will perish. But the reward that I get in eternity, it will never end. I'm going to go for that one. I want the one that gives an annual giving. You know when you win that big check and they're like, you can take it all in one lump sum or a little bit every week for the rest of your life? I want the little bit every week for the rest of my life called eternity. But without God, without God, if we don't choose him here, we will not choose him later. What we choose now has eternal ramifications. The good news that we have to offer, if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, if God has been your help, is to share with those who do not know exactly what John 11:25-26 says. When Jesus says to Martha, when Lazarus is in the grave, and this is a different Lazarus, they're not cousins, they're the same different Lazarus, just same name. Lazarus, the friend of Jesus who died, and Jesus came and raised him from the dead, but he said this, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Today, this is the promise of the gospel. This is the good news to all mankind, that if you would believe in the resurrection and the life, you are promised eternal life. Anything less than that is not good news, because then we're stuck in our sin apart from God for eternity. Oh, would we share the good news? Would we know that there is a good news apart from a not good news and give out the good news of the gospel? That's a heart check. Our choices on earth have eternal effects, both for ourselves and how we share it with others around us. Third heart check, ready? There is always justice in the eternal economy of God. Trust his process. Can I hear someone say amen to that? Listen, I don't know about how many of you out here would like some payback for something, but I want to say to you that in the eternal economy of God, it is coming. It is coming. It is coming. This story is known a lot often because of the great reversal, that what was gained on earth, it turns around in eternal places. There is justice that's meted out. One of the most encouraging parts of the parable is the reversal of fortunes that you might say between the rich man and Lazarus on earth. The rich man in all of his purple and fancy feasts seemed to have it all together, was judged by mankind to be the right kind of person. And Lazarus was as low as he could be, judged by all, not even seen by many. But after death, the tables were turned. Eternity weighed in and gave what was rightfully due. Eternity is weighing in on your life, even today. The Lord is for you. The Lord is for you. I love Isaiah chapter 61, the whole thing. I could read it every day, and oftentimes I do, because it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's talking about Jesus. He sets captives free. He does a lot of exchanging. But one of the things that he does is he rebuilds ruins, and he brings justice. This is what the Holy Spirit has sat upon Jesus to do for all those who would come under his saving power. Maverick City just came out with a song called Ruins, and I love the lines out of it, and it comes from this passage. You rebuild, you restore all that is broken from the ruins. You redeem, you return all that was stolen from your children, because that's what you do. That's what you do. Today, I want to encourage you, church, don't quit. Don't grow weary in the well-doing. Don't grow weary in the well-doing. Don't grow weary in saying, but God is my help. When the world looks at you and says, don't do it that way, because look, if you do it that way, it's not working for you. And you would say, but I'm going to do it God's way because he is my help, even if it costs me everything. It's an inside, outside, upside down kingdom. Just because the world says this is the right way, the Lord says, actually, I have a better way. Didn't he say to his disciples, if you want to be the greatest, you have to be a servant of all? No one told the rich man that. Or maybe someone did and he just chose not to hear it. He chose not to hear it. There is justice coming for each one who calls Jesus Lord, who says, God is my help. James 4, 6 and 10 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. That is part of the justice. Proverbs 20 and 22 says, do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you. And Romans 12, 19, we know this. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Can you trust that the Lord is going to take care of you? You know, Lazarus didn't see it on this side of eternity, but he certainly saw it on the other side. So I don't want to sugarcoat it. Sometimes it's hecka hard here. But the Lord is for you. He sees you. And there's justice coming. Isaiah 61 and 8. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense. Can you say faithfully? Isn't it good to know that when he says he will do it, he will do it? I am confident of this. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. There is always justice in the eternal economy of God. Trust his processes today. The next heart check that I feel like this parable highlights is this. What you do unto the least of these, you do unto Christ. During these parables, one of the things that pastor's been doing is we're looking for, where is Christ in this? See, oftentimes we want to be the good guy, everybody else is the bad guy, and we're not sure, and Jesus is just telling the story. Or we're just watching from the outside. Today, we might see ourselves both as the rich man and as Lazarus, because I think it qualifies in both parts for all of us. But I believe that Jesus is found in Lazarus, and this is why. Matthew 25, 34 through 40 says this, and I know it's not on the PowerPoint, but if you'll just hear the words that I say. Then the king, that is a representation of Jesus, will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the earth. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you like a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these brothers, you did it unto me. Today, I believe our heart check is, are we willing to serve the least of these? You got to love Pastor David, because he's walking around trying to find as many people as he can help every day of his little life. And he says, how do I serve? How do I love? Because when I do it unto the least of these, I do it unto the Lord. Mamas, when you're changing a baby diaper who cannot thank you but can only fuss at you even more, that's the least of these, by the way. That's the least. That is the most ungrateful person ever known to man is a three-month-old. They're like, I don't really care about you at all. So there. Just gimme, 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 gimme. Least of these, as unto Christ. Wives, if you're serving your husbands who maybe are not grateful, who are maybe not walking with the Lord, who maybe are not doing as they should, least of these as unto Christ. Husbands, the same goes for you. Love as unto Christ. This is a heart check place. When you serve those who don't seem like they deserve it, who could give you nothing in return, you do it as if it's unto Christ. One thing I want to make clear is this. It wasn't Lazarus' inability to do anything that got him into heaven. And it wasn't the rich man's wealth that didn't. Because we know the word of God is very clear. That salvation only comes through faith in Jesus Christ, period. However, scripture is very clear that our faith in Jesus Christ produces works that are evident on the outside. There is a fruit of the Spirit that rises up in us that causes us to love, to serve, to give, to die to ourselves that he would be glorified. And so this parable just highlights that it's not enough to have lip service, that what is in our heart will affect what we do. There is a fruit of what our heart is committed to. 1 John 4 and 20 says this, how can you love a God that you cannot see if you do not love people that you can see? That's Tina's paraphrase version. And I think it's played out in this parable. The rich man, he saw someone who needed love and gave nothing. It was evidence of his heart. Lazarus, God will be my help. Final heart check, if a musician can come, is this. If there is no regard given to the written word of God, there will be no response to Jesus, the living word. Let me say it again. If there is no regard given to the written word of God, there will be no response to Jesus, the living word. See, the parable starts with the rich man and Lazarus, dichotomy on earth. They both die and the roles are reversed. Lazarus ends up before in heaven, basically, is what that's looking like. And the rich man does not. The story continues that the rich man realizes, I can't get out of this place, and this place is no good. I need others to know about my torment. I need them to repent. So he calls to Abraham, and this is a little annoying, right? So he says to Abraham, could you send Lazarus? He's still trying to be Lazarus's boss. Listen, I don't care if you're in torment. You're not going to change how you is. So he says, send the servant guy to go tell my brothers that they would not be where I am. And Abraham responds, a very sad response, but they have Moses and the prophets. That means they've had the word of God. Jesus is highlighting this because he's talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees know the scripture. They know the scripture, and yet they do not live by it. And yet it doesn't change a thing. And yet they want something else. And he says, but if somebody rose from the dead and went to him, they would change their minds. And Abraham says a second time, oh no, if they didn't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not listen to one that has risen from the dead. It's interesting, there's a little bit of dialogue about this particular parable, of whether it's a parable or a real story, because there is a real name in this. And I wonder if Jesus was foreshadowing, listen, I'm going to raise from the dead, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to tell you all about the gospel, and I'm still going to be rejected. You've had the word. If you will not hear this, will you hear me? See, we seek, this isn't just about them. Again, this is our heart check. We seek signs and wonders. We seek the power. But will we live by the simple gospel that calls us to repentance, calls us to holiness, calls us to walk like Jesus, calls us to love others at the expense of ourselves? And we say, no, I don't want that. I just want a miracle. I just want to be healed. I just want to. But our lives are not transformed. I mean, Jesus says himself, there's going to be many who say, I knew you. And he says, but I didn't know you. Because you didn't really know me. If there's no regard given to the written word of God, then there will be no response to Jesus, the living word. Today I want to remind you that faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Today this word is life. And can I invite us to do a heart check? Are we a living and abiding in this word? Are we looking for the next spectacular thing? This word will lead us to Christ. Spectacular moves on. Today, as I bring this to a close, I simply want us to do a heart check. Each one of us. Today, where is our hearts? Would we identify with the rich man, or would we identify with Lazarus? Or are there places in our hearts where we would identify with both? And I think that would be appropriate. Would you just close your eyes and bow your heads with me? Would you have that conversation with the Lord online or here in this room? Just say, oh God, would you reveal the nature of my heart today? Lord, you see my heart, and I don't want it to be an abomination. I don't want it to be a thing that offends you. I don't want my heart to be a thing that causes me to be far from you, because I know I can't serve two masters. I want to serve but one, and that is you. God, would you put your finger on those places in my heart where I prefer other things better than you, where I esteem other things better than you, where I run after and invest in and meditate on other things other than you. Today, let me be like Lazarus that would simply say, my help comes from the Lord. Even if he is all that I have, I choose to put my trust and confidence in him alone. Father, right now, within the sound of my voice, I pray for every heart that is saying, God, here it is. Reprioritize those things that matter. Do a heart check with me. That I would serve but one master, so that I can be with you for all eternity. Father, I pray that you would put your finger on those places, and would not one of us leave a little unchecked. Oh, we do thank you for the grace of Jesus Christ that covers a multitude of sins. We thank you that repentance is immediate. We thank you that you hold your arms open and we come running and say, God, maybe I didn't get that right. And you say, that's all right. Take my hand. Let's keep moving forward. And in a moment, I'm going to invite Pastor Manuela to come up. But before I do, I want to ask one more question. If there's anybody in this room that is not like rich man or Lazarus, but they're just like, I just don't even know Jesus. I want to know this living Christ. I want to know who he is. Maybe you're online or in this room. And today you're wanting to say, I want to put my trust in God. I want to be one that would say, help. God is my help. I want to be with Christ for eternity. If that is you this morning and you have not made that commitment to follow Jesus, to give your life wholly, to serve but one master, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and you want to do that today with every eye closed, would you simply slip your hand up? We won't embarrass you, but I just want to be able to pray for you. If you're online, you can click a button that says, I want to commit my life to Jesus. There are prayer partners online that want to pray with you. I see that hand in the back. Thank you, Jesus. Today is a day of salvation. Today, angels rejoice when one person comes back and says, I want to make Jesus Lord. We thank you, Father. Father, I just thank you that today you're doing a heart check, not to condemn, but to call close. Not to chastise, but to bring freedom and to release life into each one of your people, that we might be more like you and walk closer to you today. Keep us serving you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
I pray that the word of God spoke to your heart, that you would see life differently through the lens as we've gone through the Lenten series parables, the week 3. I believe that God wants to do something amazing in and through your life this weekend. Before you go, can I pray for you? Lord, I thank you, God, that you are moving in their life. God, I thank you that you are partnering with them to see your kingdom come even where they are. And so God, right now we bless them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, that they would be filled with the Spirit of God, that they be filled with the peace that passes understanding, that their joy of the Lord would be their strength. God, they're blessed before they wash and they're blessed as they leave. God, fill them up and we send them out, God. Fill them with who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.